Let's start off with your optimist creed. Whether you feel optimistic or not, you can't go wrong by reminding yourself of a couple things. First off, promise yourself to be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. That's mindfulness. Call it meditation and go to a place of prayer, whatever it takes. Be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. Promise yourself to talk about health, happiness, and prosperity to every single person you meet. Promise yourself to make all your friends and family feel like there's something in them. Promise yourself to look at the sunny side of everything and in your own life, make optimism come true. Promise yourself to think only of the best, to work only for the best, and to expect in your life only the best. And I'll pause there and just say, we know some other than best things are going to happen. It's inevitable. We're not naive. We're not children. But we don't expect it. We expect the best. And what you expect and project, you get more of in the world. Promise yourself to be just as enthusiastic about my success as you are about your own. And forget about mistakes you've made in the past, because you are pressing on to the greater achievements that are right there in your near future. Promise yourself to wear a cheerful countenance at all times and give so much time to your own self-improvement that you just don't have time to criticize me. Promise yourself to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and in your own life, too happy to permit the presence of trouble, because you, and yes, my friend, I do mean you, are an optimist. Welcome aboard. But my future's just too fast. He don't stop for no one, that's no lie. So dear Lord, won't you please give me wisdom, grant me peace. 'Cause I just wanna live before I die. It is live from Homer, Alaska. I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Thank you. Memories, keepsakes, and important pieces of your life deserve to be secure, safe, and comfortable. Downtown Mini Storage to the rescue. Hi, I'm Chris Story. Downtown Mini Storage has been keeping my valuables safe, secure, and dry for over 20 years. In fact, I like Downtown Mini Storage so much, I bought the company. Call Downtown Mini Storage at 299-7653 in downtown Homer, Alaska. Move in today and get your first month absolutely free at Downtown Mini Storage on Lake Street, across from SBS and Homer. Where are you going to keep your stuff? Call Downtown Mini Storage today at 299-7653. Are you a leader? John Quincy Adams defined leadership this way. He said, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, or become more, you are a leader. There's leaders all around you. You are, in many ways, I'm sure, a leader. You needn't be elected, selected, appointed, hired. You don't need somebody else to make you a leader. You don't need somebody else to validate you in order to become a leader. The opportunity is right there in front of each and every one of us. And I think the indoctrinating paperwork that allows for this is our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution for the United States of America. That is what is so unique about this country and what we should never lose sight of. We have a leader as a guest on the program today. His name is Pastor Mark Edens. The church is Regent Life Church here in Homer, Alaska. And I've been watching what Mark and his church have been doing and fascinated by it. So I brought Mark into the studio. We've had a conversation, and I'm going to share that with you here in just a little bit. He's a fascinating man, and what he and his church are doing relative to politics surprised some people, but Mark will explain it and really opened my eyes. And it's a great conversation. I can't wait to share that with you. Time right now, though, for your Alaskan Mind Bender, presented by Captain's Coffee.
Coffee is the number one drink in the world. Everybody drinks it. Even little kids in Mexico drink coffee. Drink the coffee. It'll make you feel better.
It's true.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Picks you up, calms you down. It's the lifeblood that drives the dreams.
They've got an awful yes, lot of coffee in Brazil.
Went out on the Winter King tournament this year with my dad, Norm Story, Uncle Don Blackwell, my brother, Garrett Story, and guess how many fish we caught? Not a one. Guess how many of us cared on board? We didn't care at all because we had breakfast sandwiches from Captain's Coffee. These biscuits are so delectable, so flaky, so delicious. You'll wonder, where have you been all my life? Everything you need at Captain's Coffee, captainscoffee.com. You can download the app, order beans delivered to your door. Captain's Coffee, the world's greatest cup, and a whole lot more. captainscoffee.com.
That was fine, the great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
And out of Captain's Coffee. All right, here's your question. Remember, you're playing for a coffee card from Captain's Coffee. Gonna give away four today. Rachel, bar the door. That's right, four coffee cards. I want maximum participation with today's question. Increasing the odds twofold. Well, fourfold, what they were a moment ago. Now they're twofold more than normally in a given week. So here's your Captain's Coffee question. On a scale of 1 to 10, as you can tell already, it's participatory. There is no wrong answer. On a scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you to cut people out of your life over their political views? 1 being not likely at all, 10 being absolutely all the time. Oh yeah, I'll do it all the time. 1 being not likely, 10 being absolutely. Are you kidding me? I don't even care if it's my aunt, my uncle, my father, my brother, my mother. I'm going to cut them out of my life because of how they think politically. Scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you to cut people out of your life over their political views? Share that right now, if you would, at 907-299-7653. 907-299-7653. Just taking an informal poll here. It feels to me like this is happening a lot. What's prompting this is I saw a friend on social media recently say, she posted a meme of Donald Trump. It's a picture of Donald Trump, and it said, if you respect him, I can't respect you. And it's like, it's an open, shut, done. Let's say there's no conversation. It's the othering, the great othering of America, I think, othering of each other, othering of who's in office, who's not in office, whatever it is. It's I don't know. Is it you? Are you doing this? What are the odds of you cutting somebody out of your life? Not, and part of it, and maybe it's conflated and it's more complicated or nuanced answer than I'm allowing for, because sometimes people's political views also are dogmatically against you and don't allow conversation. And by virtue of not taking up that stick with which to have them beat you with it, maybe that is how you're getting cut out of their life or vice versa. It's an interesting conversation. I'm interested in having it with you. I'd just like to know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to cut people out of your life over their political views? 1 being not likely, 10 being absolutely, somewhere in between. Where are you? Text at 907-299-7653. When we return, we have an update on Freeze the Squeeze, the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assessing Disaster, as I'm calling it, and our very special guest, Pastor Mark Edens, when we return to the Top of the World. You are listening to On Top of the World, a Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb. This is what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. You're welcome to reach me anytime at texting 299-7653 or at our website, ilovehomeralaska.com. We'll get to our guest, our very special guest, Mark Edens, pastor of Regent Life Church, in just a moment. First, I want to repeat the Captain's Coffee Alaskan Mindbender question, brought to you by captainscoffee.com. On a scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you to cut people out of your life over their political views? 1 being not likely, 10 being, oh yeah, right now, I don't care if it's my mother, my brother, my father. 907-299-7653. Where are you at on that scale? Are you like Willie all the way down at 1, like, hey, live and let live, everybody can have their own opinions? Or are you more dogmatic in your approach and willing to cut people out like cray-cray in your life over their political views? So I noticed a church here in Homer getting very involved politically. It's Regent Life Church, as I mentioned, and it made me very curious. So I reached out to have a conversation with the pastor. His name is Mark Edens, and here is that conversation. How did Mark Edens become a pastor? Is this something you've wanted to do since you were a child, or where did it come from for you?
It's way more than a thumbnail. I've grown into that. I've been in that church all my life here. My grandmother was one of five ladies who started the first church in Homer. And so I've been involved my whole life.
Preordained. You almost didn't have a choice. But I mean, obviously it was a calling at some point. You must have heard a calling and said, you know what, I'll answer.
Yeah, that's correct. Out of high school, I went to a Bible school and felt my calling there to preach. And it was interesting because at that point I could hardly read.
Wow.
So I was a very late reader. It's a pretty testimony, but anyway.
Wow, yeah. That is. I have to ask at least one question about that. Was are you dyslexic, or was there some challenge you had to overcome, or was it just it took you longer than some?
You know, I think I just learned to hate reading early, and that was it. It's not a dyslexic thing, I learned to hate reading. I didn't like reading at all. I didn't even read comic books. And so I made it through school somehow, but I really learned how to read after high school.
Wow. Good for you. That's amazing. That's inspiring, actually. I was just talking recently about somebody who I met at middle age. They were probably 55 before they started to read. They could learn to read, and they were incredibly successful. I mean, at the top of their game. So good for you. I'm glad that you got it when you did. Let me ask you this, because Region Life is involved in politics. So before we get to the church's involvement in politics, I want to get to yours. When did you decide personally you were going to start paying attention to politics, getting involved and using your voice? Or is that something you also have been doing since you were a child?
No, that's I think during the Obama years, I started really perking up and trying to pay attention. I spent most of my younger years not paying attention. I tried to vote here and there, but snow machine and trapping and other stuff was way more important to me. But when during the Obama years, I started really gaining an interest and starting to really pay attention to what was going on, and so it's just been a growing interest from there. And and literally turning into a concern for where our nation was going and for what my kids are going to be facing in the future. So that's really a lot of the drive.
And I hear that quite a bit from people. There was a pivotal moment, and it could have been culturally speaking, or could have been maybe not the election of Barack Obama, but possibly the things he was espousing, like fundamentally transforming America, really caught the ear of a lot of people. Like, hold on a second. What does that mean? What is hope and change? Hold on a second. This is a landslide election and historic in many ways. But at the same time, I'll never forget watching Charlie Rose and Tom Brokaw on their NewsHour talking at the election night, saying to each other, and these are two mainstays of the mainstream media, saying to each other, what do we really know about Barack Obama? We don't really know a lot about him, do we? And I was like, what? You guys have been pushing him. Okay, that aside, you get involved. Yeah. It lights you up. You decide, I'm going to dig into this stuff, culturally and politically speaking. But at some point, as a pastor, you brought your ideas into your church, or your congregation drug you to it. I'm not sure which it is, but I will say this. I see your involvement. I see you guys hosting events. You're hosting political events. You're hosting rallies for people that are here to speak about election integrity. You're hosting your church was actually played host to the most recent Republican convention for our district. And on Facebook, social media, so we should grain of salt with everything said or repeated from social media, but you get a lot of grief about, hold on, man. What about separation of church and state? You guys can't be doing political stuff. So I'll ask a really super foundational, basic question. Mark Edens, what about separation of church and state? How dare you? Who do you think you are to be dancing in the political arena when you're a pastor?
Yeah. First of all, I like to consider it as being involved in government rather than politics. But I make the difference just because, I think God created government as his idea. It's a good idea. And when government is run well, the nation prospers and there's safety. And so I like making that distinction. But yes, the separation of church and state has been a real bummer in the way it's been interpreted. There's been so much fight over it. The major movement to get religion out of government, get prayer out of schools, and Bible out of schools, Ten Commandments out of the halls of the Congress and the government buildings. All of that just goes on and on. But everything is based on this phrase here, separation of church and state. So nearly everyone's heard about it, and what it means to most people, they believe it means the church does not have any influence on government, and the church just shouldn't mix with government. And it's not what it means. And I have studied that out. I've got, we could talk way longer than what the program is here about it, but, as a matter of fact, I'm going to offer $1,000 reward here in just a moment. Is that okay with you?
You bet. Absolutely.
Okay. What I want to do is make the assertion that this phrase is not in our Constitution, and it is not in our Declaration of Independence. It's not in the Bill of Rights. It's not any amendment. It's just not there. And so I'm going to offer $1,000 reward to the first listener who can show me that this phrase, the separation of church and state, is in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. Okay? How would we do that, Chris?
That's
you're my witness.
Yeah. Okay. There's many witnesses here, and I'll hold you to that. And I think I like the idea, because what you're doing is challenging the notion that we've all accepted. I think culturally and nationally, we've accepted this idea of separation of church and state. You've laid down the gauntlet and said, okay, if you really feel that way, Facebook, social media, anybody who's espousing that right now, show me the money. I'll give you the money. Where is it in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution? And you, Mark, must be so confident that nobody's going to be able to find it. So So carry on from there. Why are you so confident?
Well, I'm confident because I read it and it's not there. And it's, you know, what is there is the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no law respecting any establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's what it says. And do you hear separation in that or church or state, any of those words? They're just not there. So,
yeah.
You know, what some people say is, well, yeah, but that's what it means. But then you just go into a short study. It doesn't take very long, but study what the intent was. You know, what did the founding framers intend for this to mean? And the simple way of figuring that is just reading all the writings that the legislators passed when they passed this law. Everything that they said. So there's always, you know, debating and discussing and challenging and arguing over stuff and clarifying statement after clarifying statement, trying to figure all this out. And they discuss this, and everything discussed is transcribed and included in a journal for you and I to read. And so we can read that. And they did this from the very beginning. They still do it now. And the reason is because if years later, after a law is passed, there's any question of what the intent is, then the answer can be found in these annals. And so they're wide open for the public to read. And I assert that they are not, this phrase is not in any of those journals either. All the discussion, it's not just the final draft. It's not just the Constitution, the Declaration, the Bill of Rights. It's not just that. It's not in any of the writing of the founding fathers in framing this Constitution.
Are you finding, Mark, outside of social media, is it fair to say that you're probably not getting a whole lot of pushback? In other words, your parishioners and the people that attend your church and support you and your endeavors there, they're grateful. They're happy to have a voice in, as you say, government. But is anybody outside of social media making beef about it? Or is it all to do with that cesspool of social media?
There's a little. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it, but there's a little pushback. It's not a big deal. I mean, I feel like I'm standing on the truth, and so that's just where I'm going to stand. But the fact is most people don't realize that. Most people think it is enshrined into our Constitution. It's part of who we are and how we operate, and it's what's driving. Like, most people don't know a lot of what's in the Constitution, but they do know this is there, and it's not.
Hmm. Yeah. So, well, it's a little.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a little bit like we're all a bit of biblical scholars when it comes to some phraseology, or, for example, money is the root of all evil. But then you go back and look at the text, and it's actually the love of money, which is the root of all evil. And we get some things into our colloquial language that ends up actually coming back to bite us later. It's like, well, hold on, let's get to the root of it and understand what really is at stake. I admire what you're doing, and I'm grateful that you do have a voice in government, and you often provide a venue. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something that's time immemorial within our country, is that churches can be a venue for and community centers by and of the people, and allowing places for people to come together and talk and have either agreement or disagreement, or at least listen. And that kind of transparency, I think you have a voice in this. I'm glad you're using it.
Yeah, and most of the church lost its voice, and I had no voice in it for a long time. I didn't see the need or care or had other agendas going on until I realized, you know what, if we don't make some kind of change here, we're going to lose our nation. And so it started making me dive into it. Okay, what is our foundation? And we're meeting there at the church on Sunday nights, the first and third Sunday night of each month. And we're going over a study of biblical citizenship. And it's tremendous. Anyone's welcome. But I do want to at least finish our conversation with telling where this phrase came from. Can I do that?
Absolutely. But I have to first insert an analogy, because it just hit me like a ton of bricks listening to you, Pastor Mark Edens. I envisioned suddenly a chaplain on the Titanic, really just relegating himself to his chapel and not worrying about what was happening on the bridge and saying, you know what, I feel like we're going a little fast. I feel like we're a little blind here, and I'm worried about some of the iceberg reports I heard about. But you know what? I'm just going to be okay here in my chapel. I'm going to worry about what I've got going here. I'm sure that somebody else is watching where we're going, and yet we all know how that ended. I won't spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen the movie, but it doesn't end well. So I'm grateful that you and others, and it seems like there's an awakening, almost like a fervor around the country where pastors are saying, you know what? I am going to take up the act of government, or at least converse about it and have conversation within the walls of our church. Are you finding that too? Is it just me, or it feels like there's a movement around the country in this vein?
Oh, it's a huge movement. And there's colleges all over the place, Bible colleges and universities that are now including governmental tracks in their curriculum. So it's definitely a big drive to get back to the original intentions of their forefathers and the secret sauce that made America so great. And so, yeah, there's a big a lot happening there in that way. So, yeah.
Well, what is the origin then? If it's not constitutionally based, if it's not found and foundational to our founding documents, if it's not in those documents and your $1,000 is safe, where on earth did it come from?
Yeah. So it came in 1802. So that's, you know, something like 13 years after the Constitution and after all these documents were there. Over a decade later, Thomas Jefferson was answering a letter that was written to him by the Danbury Baptist Association. And they had a big concern. They're asking Thomas Jefferson, what do you think about this? And their concern was they had just come from the King of England, who was a tyrant, King James, and where they were being persecuted, they were being executed, they were being jailed for their beliefs, their religious beliefs. And England had a state religion, the Church of England, and King James was hard on that, on anyone who expressed a different belief. And so that's where they came from. And they have just now, you know, in the recent years, had this declaration of independence, and they declared their independence from this tyrant. And so their question was asking Thomas Jefferson, is our religious liberty ever going to be infringed upon by the government? And that was their concern. That's what they were asking. And Jefferson's answer was no. The government is not going to infringe on your religious freedom because the Constitution builds a wall of separation between church and state. That's what he said in the letter. So it's important too to say this was a phrase out of a sentence in a letter. It's not a statute. It's not a law. It's not an amendment. It's a phrase out of a letter. And I remind you that the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It's kind of like one-way traffic. It's a bit like, if you can imagine standing in front of a window, it's like a one-way window. It's kind of mirrored, you know, you can see out, but you can't see in. And that's how it is. Your religious freedom can influence people around you, can influence government, it can have influence, but the government cannot prevent or prohibit your religious freedom. That's what that meant.
All right. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it very much.
All right.
You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story. We'll be back with an update on Freeze the Squeeze. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. I want to do a brief update on Freeze the Squeeze. If you're in the Kenai Peninsula borough and you're hearing the sound of my voice, you've got until April 1st to file your property tax appeal, the assessment appeal. And also, may I encourage you to reach out to each and every assembly person even if they're outside your district, and the Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor. Go to kpb.us and just talk to them. Talk to them like people and neighbors, because that's what they are. That's who they are. We're all in this together. We're all on the same peninsula. These people are volunteering their time, by and large, except for the mayor, who's paid handsomely. But the assembly folk are volunteering their time. And it's, you know, it's just a request that we have to make of our leaders. And I don't think it's unreasonable. Again, the appeal process isn't easy. It's not easy at all. You've got to come up with something that's legitimate. This is what I don't like about the process, is that we're not really privy to the process with which these properties are assessed. And yet at the same time, you're supposed to come up with something that they'll take. And this is, again, nothing to do with the current assessors. Look, I've been battling this for 22 years of my professional career. And that's probably this, Adina, I think, is probably the third or fourth assessor that that I've been dealing with and working with. And I have, in fact, just point of fact, I've not even reached out to her, because this isn't about her. This isn't about her or Les or anybody else in the offices of the Borough Assessing Department. This is about the process. And so rather than take on the methodology and try to shave back a few points, like we did a number of years ago, the Realtor Association here on the peninsula, I'm talking probably 10 years ago, we fought against it and we were able to shave back and roll back some. Do you remember the view assessment increase? Do you remember the natural gas assessment increase? So these kind of little metrics and tweaks to the methodology can see these massive spikes. So our four-point plan would eliminate all of that. Not trying to make the job of the assessing department any more difficult than it already is. This is just a political plan, something that we can talk to our assembly about and say, hold on, we need to do something about this. Now, here's what I'm going to forewarn you. Be prepared. You're going to be told it's illegal. You can't do this. Be prepared to be told it's not constitutional. It's illegal. It's against the law. We can't do what you want to do. But remember, you live in a post-COVID era. If I told you about a plan to shut down businesses, restrict travel within the state of Alaska, and I told you this plan, I shared it with you over coffee, say, in, I don't know, August of 2019, you would have said, what are you, crazy? That's never going to happen. No, we're going to do this next year. No, Chris, you're insane. That ain't never going to happen. You would have laughed me out of the coffee shop. You would never even listen to me. We can do this. We can do massive changes. If that can happen, see, I don't think I'll ever want to hear again, oh, that's not constitutional, that's against the law. Then we need to change the law. If the governor can so like that change and make laws, mandates, and things like that that will impact you, there is no reason we can't collectively come together and say, we're not going to be subjected to an 80% increase year over year on our property taxes anymore, never again. We can say that now. We were shut down. We were mandated that our businesses be closed down, travel restricted, police sent to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting to break it up. And I'm sorry, but this happened in our country, in our state. So I'll not sit by and be told, oh, you can't cap the rate of rise on assessed value. We can't do that. Yes, we can. We certainly can't roll back to 2023 assessments, Chris. I mean, the state of Alaska, 29.45.1110 statute says that the boroughs are mandated to assess to true and fair market value. Okay, I understand that. But we're only going to raise the assessed values that are taxable. The taxable rates only are going to go up 5% at a maximum a year. And then hold on a second. Because are you telling me that the property values have raised actually 20% year over year, 23 to 24, and I somehow as a real estate broker miss that? So it's actually not about that. What it is, and some, by the way, are 186% in one case, and many between 40 and 80%. So they're not suggesting that the market actually went up that much. They're just going, we're just getting caught up. Oh, well, then we must have been in a constitutional crisis last year then with these low values. We were flying in the face of 29.45.1110. Oh, my goodness. No, not in the least. No, SWAT team did not come up from Juneau to Binkley Street and at gunpoint demand that they tweak the system, increase a metric here and there. Nope. You can demand that these artificial increases be reset to last year's valuation. I'm being told, by the way, I'm going to give a benefit of the doubt that 99% of the assembly and the borough mayor did not get my email, because nobody to a person has reached back out to me that I didn't have to reach out to them and say, did you get my email? So there's that. I'm going to be making more calls today, blah, blah, blah. Point is, I've already heard from one person. Actually, I take that back. One person did reply, and that's the gentleman, Mr. Johnson, who said that what I wanted to do was illegal. And so that's when I started thinking, wait a minute, illegal? Look what we just did in 2020, 2021, 22. Are you kidding me? No, we can do this. We can cap the rate of rise. We can also increase our senior exemptions to $500,000. And I'm not suggesting that it's going to be easy, but it's going to take all of us, because they're not responding to me. They may not respond to you. It's going to take all of us. And again, I'm not advocating that we call the assessing department and harangue them. I'm talking about filing an appeal, one. Two, contacting each and every assembly person and the borough mayor. So I think it's the least we can do. We owe it to ourselves. It's going to end up in a people's referendum. If we don't do something now and together, we're going to end up with some sort of a referendum like they've done in California. And is that really necessary? I mean, the idea that properties are increasing this massive amount is just insane. We all know it's not true. It's not increasing 80% year over year, even 20 or 30% as some of these valuations are taken into consideration. They're not. Here's what they're not taking into consideration: functional obsolescence, depreciation. See, land appreciates, buildings depreciate. So that all has to go into the matrix of fair market value. So again, with all due respect and solemnity and being polite, I'm just asking that each and every one of us in the Kenai Peninsula Borough use your voice, let it be heard. I'm told, I didn't actually hear this, I'm told that Mayor Machicki is saying on another radio station that a third of the calls are coming in saying that properties have been assessed too low. That their property, a third of the people have called in and said that their property was assessed too low. Okay. So freeze the squeeze. You've got till April 1st to appeal. And so I'm hoping that as many people as possible can, if they feel that their property is overassessed, now is the time to speak up or forever hold your peace. We are living in the age of the side hustle, even though this is the digital age. I want to talk about local side hustles, possibly. We'll talk about courage and also visualization. That's all coming up. Before I let you go right now, though, remember, our Captain's Coffee question is on the table for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you to cut people out of your life over political views? 1, not likely. 10, absolutely. Giving away 4 coffee cards today to Captain's Coffee, 907-299-7653. We'll be right back here on Top of the World. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Paul just said he used to live in Oregon. 20 years ago, they passed legislation to limit the rate of increase to 3% per year, not to exceed 3% per year. And according to, in affiliation with comparing my freeze the squeeze plan with another listener, Mike, we actually kind of said, okay, or CPI, whichever is less. So that could end up being somewhere closer to 3%. Paul continues, it was to protect those who wish to live in their house for the rest of their lives. It was adjusted according to the sale price when it was sold. That's very similar, I think, what happened in California. All right, let's get into our question real quick, because I want to, well, answers are still coming in. It's interesting because we are in this age where I accept most people irrespective. I'll call somebody a friend who's a flaming liberal and somebody who's, you know, even further right than I am. I mean, none of my friends, none of the people on the left listening to this program right now are under any illusion that I am anything other than pretty conservative. You know, I mean, I'm what do you would call myself, a centrist. I'm very conservative, and they still love me. I'm talking about the people on the left. And I love them as well as human beings, and I have great conversations. I'm a little bit like Les Brown, I guess. He used to talk about, he had cookie friends, he had 2 a.m. friends, he had political friends, he had sports friends, he had people that he could call in the middle of the night. In other words, if he needed bail money, he called those his 2 a.m. friends. He had cookie friends who would, like, oh, you're feeling down? They'd bake him cookies and bring him over. There were some friends that he could talk politics with, but ain't nobody else he could talk those politics with, things like that. I'm pretty comfortable having a debate with somebody that I disagree with, or sometimes I'll find an article and I'll just send it to one of my furthest left friends in a text and say, hey, what do you think about this? Because in part, I want to know, like, how do you think? How is that? In fact, I was just telling Michael Dukes this morning on the program with him that I was listening to NPR the other day, because I really wanted to, like, the people that are just absolutely sure they know Donald Trump inside and out, and they're on the left and they hate him and they see him as the second coming of Hitler. How are you basing this? Like, on what are you basing that opinion? Listen to about 22 minutes of NPR and I'm like, ah, got it. Now I got it. It is a constant stream of affirmation, you know, or confirmation bias right there. I mean, it is just, there isn't two sides of anything. It is right down the left lane. So all I'm saying is, I hope that in having this conversation, and the question I'm asking is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you to cut people out of your life based on their political views? I'm hoping that most of us are leaning towards the one mark, because we're all in this, you know, as Americans. And if, God forbid, something should happen, I said God forbid, something should happen, we rally to each other. Do you not remember September 11th, 2001? It didn't matter if you were left or right wing, we were one people. We shouldn't need a cataclysmic event like that to have to force us back to, oh yeah, we are brothers and sisters in America. That's what we are. I heard Tulsi Gabbard talking to Tucker Carlson the other day, and she was talking about her brothers and sisters, her brothers. She's military. She is a military person through and through. And she doesn't care what your politics are when you're in the military. You're a military. We should be the same with America. Look, I care about politics and I love to talk about it, but I'm not going to cut somebody out unless, as some of you have answered, unless you foist it upon me and almost force it down my throat. If you're going to force me to fit your framework of a decent person, politically speaking, then I guess by virtue of attrition, it's going to, then the relationship will naturally call itself out and be done. But I'm not seeking that. I'm seeking friendships. I put on a show, an art show a couple of years ago at the Art Shop Gallery. And it was not political in nature, but it was culturally provocative. Like I had one piece, and these were all done out of clay, and I called it a writing on the wall, something like that. But it was all these clay sort of like forms that stood up, and I graffitied across them using automotive paints. And one of them was in gold on black, shiny gold on black, and it said Trump. And then it said, and the winner is, was the title of that. Another one about ivermectin and science, and it was all underneath money of, you know, gold coins weighting down the ivermectin tablets and so forth, which was real ivermectin, by the way. It was a really cool piece. But it was taken down because the backlash, people were upset by it, and they complained to the gallerist. And so she said, well, this, I don't, you know, it's not what we do here. And I respected that. But I was surprised that not one of the 120 or some odd people that came through the art show that night wanted to talk about it. Not one. I could see a few people were disappointed and like, this isn't making me feel good. This is making me, you know, kind of, it was triggering to some people. But not one person came up to me and said, I disagree with you, or tell me more about this piece. Where are you coming from? What do you mean the end the winner is? Or why is Reagan the GOAT? Why? What does that even mean? And anyway, I think we will be better off if we can have a conversation, even and to include this freeze to squeeze. My line about this from the start of noticing these massive increases in the assessed value here on the peninsula was the government needs to learn to do more with more, just not that much more. I'm not asking for a regressive rollback to 1990 valuations. I don't think it's that unfair to say I'd like to have a conversation about stopping this nonsense of 20 to 30, 40%, 80% increase year over year in assessed value. It's not tenable. It's not fair. It's just not practicable for a safe and healthy, long-term, sustainable community. We need to have this conversation. So what, you know what we're going to need? Lefties. Yep. We're going to need righties. We're going to need the MAGA. We're going to need the Bernie Sanders folk. We're going to need them all. I mean, Karl Marx had his whole philosophy, if you can call it that, of communism was anti. I've got it right here. Where's the quote? I just read it. His quote was, the manifesto was, the theory of communism may be summed up in one sentence: abolish private property rights. Abolish private property. We're here to sustain it. The only way you can sustain a healthy and privately owned community is A, own more of it yourself. in your own backyard, which we'll talk about on Thursday's edition of Backyard Millionaire, and also keep the taxes where people can afford to live here, where the locals, the people that, and I don't parade this around like it's anything special, because you maybe have family here for a lot longer than me. My family's been here in Alaska since 47, the peninsula since 52. It's a long time. I don't want any of my family, I don't want any of my kids, my parents, my aunt and uncle, my cousins, my brother, I don't want any of them taxed out of being able to live here. So what do we do? Well, we've got to be able to come together as a group of people who respect each other, even though we may disagree. Again, some on the assembly are way left, some are going to be a little bit further right, some down the middle, but have a conversation about it. And we shouldn't and ought not accept, that's illegal. Sorry, Krantz, that's nothing illegal. You can't do that. Well, let's do something about that, because I think we can. I think we can do something about that. And I don't think we're alone. I think this is happening around the country. I know it's happening around the state. I've heard from you in Kodiak. I've heard from people around the state. I know this is having a massive impact on a lot of people. So I'm hoping that we can just, again, be respectful of and to each other, even though we come from different sides of a political arena. Why not just look at this and say, hold on, this is not sustainable. If we have another 20% increase next year, or God forbid, in some cases, 80, what's going to happen? What will happen to the locals? What will happen to the backbone of our communities and our state? It's not tenable, and our voices must be heard. But in order to do that, we have to lift them up in unison. We have to come together. We have to go to kpb.us and speak directly to your assembly people and your borough mayor. And if they don't reply back, don't take it as a sign of disrespect. Maybe they're just really busy. Keep trying. It's going to be the persistent voice, the squeaky wheel that wins. We all need to come together as a chorus of people. This just in, apparently tomorrow morning at 10:20, NOAA's going to be sounding the tsunami alarms where, I wrote this down, Dave was just telling me, the Gulf of Alaska, Kodiak, and the Pribilof. So 10:20 tomorrow morning, if you hear the tsunami and the warning in those areas, this is commemorative, I guess, of the 64 quake and tsunami. So if you're in the Gulf of Alaska, Kodiak, or the Pribilof, expect to hear those sirens. Maybe don't be alarmed, but do pay attention just in case. But that's 10:20 tomorrow. Alaska is such a unique, amazing place. I just love it. I love it here. Even though one of my books, I think it was in The Watchmen, I said something about it, for all of its glory, Alaska is always ready to kill you. I don't think that's such an original line, but it's very true, isn't it? All right, let's pick some winners. No, I'm not in the government. I don't actually pick winners and losers, but I do pick the winners of the contest. So we've got, well, this person, I don't see your name, so I can't pick you. So I'm going to scroll again. Okay, we've got Sue, Casey, and Rich, and Dave S. Dave S., Rich, Sue, and Casey. You guys are all getting Captain's Coffee cards. Thank you for being here. Thanks to our guest, Mark Edens, pastor of Regent Life Church. What a great guy. I'm going to be putting this out as a podcast later. If you want to share, at a minimum, sharing his message, I think would be worthwhile. It'll be at ilovehomeralaska.com/podcast. Really wanted to get to a few other things. Dr. Covey, Stephen Covey, wrote a book called The Highly Effective Habits of Highly Effective People. I want to postpone that to Thursday. Plus, I want to talk a little bit about visualization and being in the age of the side hustle. You know what? All of these are going to fit beautifully into the Backyard Millionaire on Thursday. So we'll just postpone that. Once again, I've come overprepared. Just again, I'm excited about where we're at. I know that it seems like there's a lot of controversy going on in the world, but I'm excited. It feels to me like, I was talking with Pastor Edens, it does feel like there's an awakening, both spiritually, through the church, through just the halls of our city. I feel like people are waking up. I really do. And I mean it. Just what a great reminder. When you're told you can't do something anymore, you have to just rewind in your mind and go, wait a minute, you shut us down. We let you, I know, but you shut us down. You prohibited us from traveling. You made it illegal to gather and practice our First Amendment protected religious liberties. You made it illegal for us to open businesses. You picked who was essential and who wasn't. Yeah, we can do the freeze the squeeze plan. If you want a copy of it, send me a text. I'll send it to you, as amended by our good friend Mike Jones. I'm Chris Story, for Mr. David Webb and myself, reminding you to live the good life right here in the present. We'll see you Thursday.